salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Dad and my brother Dan. Dan would be Daniel. Dan is on the 60s. Dan must be 70 today. The big 7-0. I got to make sure I check in with him. Boy, I don't know, Dan. Anybody ever think you'd make it to 70? The kind of lifestyle you had. Thank God every day when you get up. Yesterday I went upstairs after the show. Left my multi-million-dollar studio here. Climbed up the steps. My wife was sitting. I'm drinking a cup of coffee or something at the table. And she said, she looked at me, she says, "Wow, thanks for the encouragement." Talking about the show. She just watched the show. You know, we talked about death and dying and laying down your life and all that kind of stuff. Folks, listen, I don't mean to come here and do fear porn. I don't live my life like that. I'm telling you, if you could follow me around, I don't live my life in fear. I just don't. I'm an analyst. I'm an analyst of the culture. I'm an analyst of the culture from a spiritual perspective. Now, I said something yesterday. I'm gonna stick to it. I think the Bible's the precepts in the Bible are true. I try to do the best I can to follow the precepts of the Bible. Well, much of the Bible is nothing more. That sounds awful. Much of the Bible are signposts. They're directing you to something else. It's precept upon precept, evidence upon evidence. And it does that, I guess, just to reinforce or encourage us that, yes, this is true. Yes, this is written about here, see? And I'm talking about me now personally. I don't get caught up in it. I don't, like, I guess October 31st is the second blue moon or some kind of moon, and there's a sign somewhere in the Bible that may be true. Can I tell you something? I don't care. I'll be 68 years old in November, and the way I look at it, I got, am I going to be doing this at 80? Hey, Mike. Hey, Larry, am I going to be doing this at 80, you think? That's 12 years. I'm going to be able to do this 12 more years. I don't need any more signposts to know that, for me anyway, I'm on the downhill or the uphill, depending on how you're counting it. When you get old, it feels like you're walking uphill all the time, right? Anybody out there say amen? Know what I'm talking about? But I'm on the downhill. I'm on the downhill of my life.
Hey, brother, you're on any hill you want to be, brother.
But the point I'm making is this: I'm not going to get caught up into reading the signs. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not, because the reading of the signs, all that does is confirm to me I'm heading on the right path, and I know that I am. I don't have to stop and read every road marker. Anybody understand what I'm saying about?
Amen, brother.
So you know, I guess a lot of times that kind of stuff is good for people who aren't believers. Maybe it'll help them, but I already know something's going on, man.
A little bit.
I already know. And so, I don't need any more evidence. So I didn't mean to come in here yesterday and be all negative. I'm just, as I said, I evaluate the signs of the times in which we live, and try to make sense of what we see going on around us. So listen, I have great, 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 great joy in my life. I have great joy. And if I drop dead of a heart attack tomorrow, I'm going to die a happy guy. I'm not going to die a worrying, pouting, sucking on my thumb. What's going to happen? Oh, woe is me. I don't live like that ever. I don't ever live like that. But I'm smart enough to know that we're all here for a short time, some shorter than others. And nobody knows when that day is or that hour is and what it's going to be like. But I know, what does the Bible say? That when we see him, I'm going to be like him. I know that. I don't need to read any more about that. I've already settled that in my heart. Because, so, yes.
You know, when you're motivated to actually get up and do something,
Anytime you spend more time focusing on why you're motivated, you're wasting the time you're motivated to do something about.
Well, Larry, as you know, my satisfaction, and as you also know, my greatest satisfaction comes in trying to do what he tells me to do. I'm not responsible for the results. If he tells me, Coach, get up a bunch of people and go to Chappaqua, I'll go to Chappaqua. I'm not responsible for what happens. I'm just going to go let that be that sacrifice and lay it out for him and do it. If he says, hey, Coach, go down and go to the city council meeting or make a bunch of calls, I'll do that. I'm not responsible for the actions, because if I sit around and wait for the seed that I planted to bear fruit, I'm going to be a discouraged guy, man. Whatever. Hey, go tackle that guy, will you? The guy goes and tackles, and that's all I care is another play. Go tackle that guy, will you? Yeah, go tackle. Good. Yeah, good job. Just keep tackling them. Just keep tackling them. And, you know, I just brushed over this yesterday, but I want to make sure I come back again and understand this. Folks, listen. There are no rules in war. There are no rules in war. And we're going to have to come to the conclusion or the decision, or are we at war? Are we at war? Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, let's say, okay, but are we at war? And what is that war? The war that we're wrestling not against is not flesh and blood. So what? I just sit in my house and pray all the time and wrestle with demons in my house. Is that what it is? Or do those demons, I'm sorry if this sounds repetitive, but some of you still don't get it. Friends, the spiritual war manifests in the world. The spiritual war shows up in the natural realm. I don't know how more I can say it, how many more ways I can say it, and how few Christians get it. Come on in, Silver.
Well, I hope I make it to 80 as well. But, you know, Coach, you've had, what, 2 major visits from the government already.
Right. Most people don't get any of those in their life, do they, John?
I know. But I was going to say, yes, we are definitely in a spiritual war. And there are no rules as far as this war is concerned. Other than to do what we're directed to do, regardless of the cost.
Amen, Joe, because there is a cost.
Can I jump in here and follow that? Because for years, I mean, even 25 plus years ago, I would hear the older crew talk about the age and limits and retirement. And I saw recently there's been no retirement line in history. I mean, it was and I've had these conversations with older people lately. We need the older people. We needed the older people in the Revolutionary War, in the Civil War. They were taking up arms. They were joining ranks at 70 and 80 years old. I believe, and I'm not there yet, but I've always believed from early on to this point, so you think, so you are. It's a mindset. It's the warrior spirit. It's the aggression. It's the drive. And ultimately, it's how we take care of ourselves as well. We need the knowledge, the wisdom, the strength, and the leadership of the older crowd. That's my perspective, and I could say more, but I'll open that up for discussion.
Well, Bobby, let me piggyback on top of that. By the way, folks, second half of the hour, Craig's going to talk to us about Noah's flood, actually, when it began. It's some pretty fascinating stuff. But bear with me. I want to lay a foundation here today. Okay, I want to lay a foundation. This is hard for us, okay? This is hard. What I'm going to tell you is hard. Because it flies in the face of everything we have been taught. That's not true. It flies in the face of our perception of everything we've been taught. See, folks, there are two, all's fair in love and war, right? We all know that. We cannot win a war that we are fighting with a different set of rules. Not in the natural realm. Now, we can in the spiritual realm, but not in the natural realm. I can't win a war if I have a club and the other guy's got a gun. I cannot win. Maybe I can, but I probably can't. If I'm hungry, I probably can't catch a fish if I don't use a worm and a hook. Probably can't. I mean, I could pray him out of the boat, or out of the water into the boat. That's probably not going to happen. Until we come to the realization that we are spiritual beings in a natural realm, passing through a natural realm in a spiritual, we are a spirit, and we're passing through this world in a natural body. And to understand that there are natural laws and natural things that are going on around us, and to understand that spiritual things do not always show victory in the natural realm. Can I say that again? Spiritual principles don't always show up as victory in the natural realm. They don't always. They don't. And I think that's one of our great confusions. And so I got two verses today I want to talk to you about, and then I'll shut up and let Craig come in. Mike, go to they're down at the bottom of the email I sent you, Mike. Which one do I want to go first? Go to Luke 16, Mike. Go to Luke 16. See, I live in a natural body, and I don't know if it's possible. If you believe that witches can cast spells, especially this time that we're coming on now, if witches can cast spells, it would seem to me that that is taking a spiritual component and bringing it into the natural realm. Would anybody agree with that? If a witch is casting a spell on me, it's probably on my physical body. Probably is. Right. So they're taking spiritual aspects and injecting them into the natural realm. We're called to do the same thing. However, thananks, Stephanie. She says I'm on target. Our spiritual weapons ought to be just as powerful. Where? In the natural realm. In the natural realm. But see, we don't think of that, because so we love to say, well, we don't wrestle against flesh. See, we like to take the battle totally and completely out of the natural realm and into the spiritual realm. Say, well, that's where our battle is. I'm just going to go into my prayer closet and I'm just going to pray, because that's where the battle is. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against all these things up here, these evil spirits in high places and the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. No, but they're showing up here, see. And so the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is telling us that, listen, boys and girls, there's a real war. There's a real natural war going on here. And you better understand that you have to apply. If you're going to win in this natural realm, you're going to have to take spiritual weapons. But, dude, you're going to have to wield them. You're going to have to wield those weapons in the natural realm. That's the only – the devil's doing it. The devil's doing it everywhere. And he said unto his disciples, Luke 16, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him, that he'd wasted his goods. Somebody comes along and tells the boss, hey, that guy you've been hiring, he ain't been working very hard for you. And so he called him and said to him, how is it that, why am I hearing about these guys? Tell me you're sloughing off. Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward. He said, if this stuff's true, get rid of you, dude. Who did this? This wise man, this certain man. Then the steward said within himself, man, what am I going to do? Said it within himself. You see this? For my Lord taketh away from me this. If he takes away the stewardship, what am I going to do? I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I'm resolved what to do that. When I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into the house. He said, I'm going to lose my job, and I'm praying that some others are going to pick me up here. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said unto the first, how much do I owe you, bud? I'm sorry, how much do you owe unto the Lord? And he said, I owe $100. And he said, okay, listen, here, let's do this, man. Write me $50 right now, and we'll close this account. And he said to another, okay, how much do you owe, dude? And he said, well, I also owe $100. And he said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write me 80. I want you to write me 80, and I'll let you off. And the Lord commended the unjust servant because he'd done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. But can you sit right down there a minute? Folks, can you sit right down there a minute? The Lord said, unjust steward, the unjust steward was wise. See, you're supposed to get $100 back, but he only got 40. He was supposed to get $100 back, but he only got 80. And he said, man, you are wise.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
For just a second, that verse 8, it's not Jesus, Lord, commending the servant.
I got you, Larry. Because this is a parable, right?
No, so it's not. It says, Jesus said a certain man. That takes it out of the parable.
Okay, gotcha.
He's saying something that happened.
Okay. And he said, the children of this world and their generation are smarter than you spiritual guys. They get what's going on. They understand how this battle's fought. And then he says, I say to you, make to yourself friends of money. Make to yourselves friends of the money of unrighteousness. Make to yourself friends. What? See, Christians are, this is not a sermon on money. Christians are afraid to ask for money. The Lord said, if you're smart, you'll ask for money. Why do you ask for money? Because money makes the world go round, boys and girls. Now, when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous money, who's going to commit to trust you with all this other stuff? If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters, for you hate the one, love the other, love the one, hate the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisee said, what is this dude talking about? I never heard these kind of things before. I think I'm opening this up. I think this wise servant, this is saying, dude, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Now, listen, I'm not talking about being dishonest. Folks, listen, I'm not talking about that. You live and you stand on biblical standards and you live your life because you're going to give an account for how you live your life. But also understand that there is a way that the world works. And if we're going to operate in this world, we have to understand the way the world operates. And if we don't understand the way the world operates, we're not going to be effective in it. That's why the devil's kids are wiser than ours. Why? They infiltrate. They take over the schools. They take over the government. They take over the media. They infiltrate. They're wiser than we are. Why? I don't know. They're wiser than we are. And we sit around and then we find ourselves chained down by the government or whoever you want it to be. Chained down. Listen, I'm not going to open this can. I just got to say this. Can somebody explain to me why the government has any right to your money? Can anybody, somebody explain that to me? The house that you own, you have to pay property tax on the house you own? So they can take your money and give it to the schools to teach things you don't even believe in? See, there's something not right. And so the Christians, oh my goodness, have not learned how to rebel against unrighteous authority. Have the children of the world learned how to rebel against authority? Turn on your camera and look at Portland, look at Seattle, look at Minneapolis, right? So if the hitting the streets works for the devil's kids, can somebody explain to me why it wouldn't work for God's kids? Can somebody help me out on that one? We're not smart enough to say, man, they use that technique. Let's use it. Let's try that. We don't get it.
Hey, let's look at music for a second, Coach. You know, there's a lot of folks that say, oh, that modern day religious music is just the devil's music. Well, you know what? If the devil can use music to manipulate people, don't you think God's smart enough to use music to manipulate people?
Yes. But the question is, Larry, are we smart enough to understand that? And I would say no. And so what we're being shown right here Luke 16, there's two systems. And we cannot operate in this world and be successful using only the spiritual system. Does that sound blasphemous to anybody? I'm going to shut up a minute and give somebody a chance to argue with me on that. If you're going to make money, then you got to do it the world's way. Huh? I'm sorry. Well, I want to be honest. I'm not going to rip people off. I'm going to work by godly Christian principles. But if I want to accumulate money, there's a way to do it. Just look how the devil does it. With
hey, Coach.
Yes.
Does that mean maybe getting some of that campaign money, selling them some flags?
Maybe that's what it means, Jeff. Maybe that's what it means, right? Maybe I'm not going to say who, but just because I don't have his permission. I had a guy, somebody donated some money to us yesterday. And you know what he said? And it really blessed me. Some of you aren't going to like this, but it really blessed me. He said, Coach, I've pulled back some money that I normally give to my church. And I'm giving it towards this project. And I thought, praise the Lord. Some of you think your money belongs only to your church. Can somebody tell me where that came from? Bring all the tithes in the storehouse. There might be meat in my house. Well, is there any meat in that house? You better ask yourself that question. And is it the same dog food every Sunday? You get the same dog food? Or are you getting good meat? And I think it's
amen, critical. Coach.
Glenn, I know I'm all over it, man. I don't care what people say. The idea, see, if you think that you are tithing to a church and it's you're being obedient and getting brownie points with the Lord, that's only because your pastor's taught you that. That's the only reason.
Dave?
Yes.
Well, Dave, that was a great analogy when you said dog food, because it's mostly corn, which is not digested by your body.
Mm.
So that's such a great analogy there with the modern day most of these satanic social clubs, Larry.
Yeah. So Chad, let's ask ourselves this. Where's Antifa and BLM? Where are they getting their money? Well, they're getting it from people, aren't they? People giving them a lot of money. Do you suppose those people are giving money to church? I bet they're not, are they? I bet they're not giving their money to church. They're giving money to win the natural war, the physical battle. They are using their money to win the natural battle, the physical battle in America. They want to take over the American government, and they're not giving money to their church. They're giving money to the devil, and the devil's taking it to the streets and kicking our hind in, right? And what do? Well, I'm going to send Coach Dave $5 because I gave $220 to my pastors to church. And I have to pay my tithe to the church. First of all, you ain't giving me the money. You ain't giving me the money. You understand? We are a front line. We're at war, baby. We're at war. And you're providing the weapons. Yeah, go ahead, Dale. Not banging on all pastors. I know you know.
I know that.
Hey, folks, I got a check. I got a check from Dale Socia's church yesterday. Thank you, Dale. Go ahead.
Well, Coach, listen. First off, is the fact of the matter is if a person's doing out of duty, then out of desire, don't even bother doing it.
That's right. That's like sleeping with your wife and she don't even love you anymore. The whole time you're in there, you're just doing it because you're married to her.
You know, it's a great analogy about BLM and the money and everything, because Jesus made the identification of this. He says, where a man's treasure is, there his heart is also. Mm-hmm. So this is the follow the money. Why? Because these men's hearts are into this BLM thing, but people's hearts aren't into the fight. Why? Because you don't see the money there.
Hey, Dale, listen, thank you. Listen to me, folks. You listen to me. Christians are giving to their churches out of duty. Somebody say amen. When others are given to BLM out of love and purpose. Oh, is there a difference in those two things, man? They're giving up money the same way. They're just giving up their money towards a cause and a purpose. Christians are tithing out of duty.
Exactly.
And that's kind of a principle. And, you know, godly biblical principles work no matter who's working them.
That's right. They do, Larry. It's wise as a serpent. Listen, I'm not trying to get your money. I'm not trying to get more money out of you. Mike, let's do this. I want to do this because I only got a few minutes. I want Craig to get in there. So, Mike, pull up Matthew 10 real quick. It's the next to last one. Matthew 10. Because this has been bothering me. Again, folks, you know this. Every day I say the same thing. How are we losing? Well, Matthew 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of disease. Does that apply to us? We're missing something here, aren't we? Then they go down, they tell us who the disciples were. Go down, Mike, to about verse 6. They tell us who they all were and all this stuff. And then verse 7, and he said, go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember, we talked about that? It's a kingdom thing. It's not heaven and hell. It's a kingdom. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor your stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And do whatever city or town you enter upon it, but if it be not worthy, let your peace return. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, and you depart out of that house, the city shake off the dust off your feet. Verily I say unto you, send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, will be the, here it is. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye wise, therefore, as serpents. We love the harmlessness of the dove things, don't we? We love that one. But he says, be wise as serpents. And I said, Lord, why a snake? Why a snake? Why wouldn't you say wise as an owl, or wise as a fox, or wise as Larry? Now be wise as a serpent. Now watch. Be wise, therefore, as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men. Wow. For they will deliver you up to the councils. They'll sick the FBI on you. They're going to call the Secret Service. And they're going to scourge you and talk about you in their churches and how you got to stay away from them and Christians don't act that way. But he says, you better realize that when you beware of men, when they do deliver you up into the councils and they do scourge you in the synagogues, understand this, that you're going to be brought before governors and kings for my sake. How do you get before governors and kings, folks? How do you get before the governors and the kings? He just told us how to do it. How do you get there? Well, be as wise as serpents. See what the snake's doing. And you see how that snake's operating. You start operating that way. Next thing you know, you're going to be testifying before governors and kings. Because they're going to arrest you and they're going to bring you in and you're going to get a chance to give a testimony against them. Jack, hang on. But when they deliver you up, not if. Coach, when they finally come in with that black van and arrest you, take no thought of how or what you shall speak, for it's going to be given in you that same hour what you shall speak. For it's not you speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which gives you. And remember this, it's going to be the brother who's going to deliver up the brother. Guy sitting beside you at church, doesn't agree with you. And the father's going to give up the children. The children's going to rise up against the parents and cause them to put you to death. And you, Coach Dave, are going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And when they persecute you in this city, go to another one. But I can tell you this, you won't find enough cities till Son of Man comes. The disciple's not above the man. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, I was just going to say, how did Paul get to speak to governors and kings?
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Because why? See, the serpents understand it. And you know what the serpents do? Why, the serpents put their own governors and kings in office, don't they? Huh? So when they go stand before the governor and kings, it's one of their guys. Christians doing that. We see Amy Coney Barrett can't even, she's not even allowed to be a Christian. They don't want her to be on the court because she's a Christian. Huh? You guys with me? I'm about done here this morning. This is so deep in me. I can't even. If we want to win, we got to play by the same set of rules, folks. We got to play by the same set of rules. Everybody earns money the same way. It's a matter of what you do with the money. Are you honest with it? Do you rip people off? You're not supposed to rip people off. But if you can get $15 for a flag, maybe I'll try to get 20. You get 20, running low on flags and everybody wants it, maybe I'll get them for 25. It's the way the world operates. Are you with me? Wise as serpents. The serpents have taken over every aspect of America. Jesus said, look at them. Look what they do. They infiltrate, they take over, and then you get trampled under feet. And now, oh, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Those guys who understood the way the world operated, they got in power, and they are trampling the church. Somebody can say amen. You got to get the government's permission to have church.
Amen.
Huh?
Another one I follow is God, by the way.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bevelyn Beatty, I just posted in the comments section earlier, Bevelyn Beatty is having church in front of the Planned Parenthood slaughterhouses. Listen, we talked about the churches earlier. I'm the fact that these bigger churches have lost their congregation and I want them to collapse. We need to go back to the smaller churches, and then we're going to have revival across this nation with real Christian men and women. When you start seeing the tents pop up nationwide, then you'll know the Christian strength is back.
Amen. Bobby, this is amazing. I'm ready to get Craig in here in a second. Listen, this has always bothered me. Always bothers me. Still does. I'm going to listen real quick for an answer. Can somebody explain to me? Anybody goes to church anywhere? Can anybody explain to me why the church has to provide financial records for the government? Can anybody explain that to me? I'm going to wait a minute. Isn't it backwards? Shouldn't the government be providing financial records for the church? Shouldn't the books be
church became a subchapter of the United States Incorporated?
Well, I don't even care about incorporation. I just care about authority. I just care about authority. And the
they agree.
And the church. Something. Look, folks, listen to me. John MacArthur told us that we are a subchapter of the government, and look what happened to him. And now all of a sudden he's rising up. He hadn't told us, hey, I was wrong, boys. I was wrong. I was wrong. The church is above the government. I was wrong, boys. Hey, folks, church is above the government. You know what's going to happen when you start saying that? You better be ready, Mike. You're going to be brought before governors and kings. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be brought before governors and kings.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You know, all those satanic social clubs, they love to think that Jesus is the name above all names. Well, if he's the authority above all authorities, then you hit the nail on the head. The church is higher than the government.
That's right, Larry. And you know what we're doing? We are funding the evil government. No ifs, ands, or but. Christian dollars are funding all of this.
Didn't the church create government?
Well, separation between the church and the state, I thought. That's what they always taught me. Anyway, I'm going to switch gears. I'm not nearly done. You don't have to say this. I'll say it for me. Coach, this is a great teaching. I'm going to have to study this a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Jeff Klein, I promise you this. If you want to operate the way Christians are supposed to operate, then sell everything you have. Take every one of those cars and just go down downtown Mount Vernon and give all those cars away to the poor. If you want to operate the way that Christians tell us it's supposed to operate. Or, Jeff, you can get a bunch of cars and sell them at a good rate and give good service and make a lot of money doing it that way. You have two choices, Jeff. Because there are some in the church going to say, Jeffy, I'll just go give all those cars away. Folks, that's stupid. That's not being wise as a serpent. That is stupid. Because the Christian, I don't want this to be about money, but it's something that we perfectly understand. Okay, Craig, I've had a couple of days been batting him around. Hey, by the way, Craig was on with David Arthur last night. Mike, click on that real quickly if you can. David Arthur's, David's changed his show's name from, used to be the Alphabet Man. I don't think he calls that anymore. He calls it, we'll get the link up here. Excuse me. Dry Bones. And Craig did I haven't had a chance to watch all of it yet, Craig. I'd be lying if I said I did, but I watched some of it today. Craig was on with David last night. Mike, maybe we can put this someplace on in the chat or somewhere. And want to make sure that you all catch that. But I also, Craig sent me something the other day regarding the significance of October 31st. He said that's when the flood came. He can prove it, yada, yada, yada. So, Craig, don't lose us in the weeds here, brother, but come on in and show us what you got for us this morning.
Okay, Coach. Well, what I want to do is I want to preface this with going back to your wheelhouse. You were a coach. There are points when you reached a crescendo in that moment of the game, and you had three timeouts during that half. And if I was a new rookie coming out wanting to be a coach, How do you explain when to take those timeouts at the right time? How do you put on a piece of paper, I sense a momentum change and I need to take a timeout and get everybody back together, or this thing's going south? Okay. That's a hard thing to do on a piece of paper, right?
It is, brother. It sure is.
Okay. Okay. But it's through experience, right? Through the understanding over time where you are, to know when to do that. That's wisdom. Okay. That's not, it's knowledge, but it's also wisdom. So when we go back to the flood, okay, what we're doing here is we're taking an event that happened that was a major event. It was a turning point in mankind. And when you read through it, there's a bunch of information and data, but it's not organized to the point where we will read it and see it for what it's trying to say. So when you go to Genesis 7, there's a bunch of dates and times in there. And those dates and times are not related to the age of the earth. It's related to Noah's birthday. And when you understand when Noah's birthday is, you can fill in the rest of the blanks. Let me give you an equation. X plus Y equals 10. Well, X and Y could be 9 and 1. It could be 5 and 5. But if I tell you X is 3, then you know that Y is 7.
I hate an algebra. I hate an algebra, yeah. but I understand it now. Yep.
Okay. So what we have here is it says that the flood began in Noah's 600th year. Okay. Well, it doesn't tell you when Noah's birthday is. But when you go and you get into the rest in Genesis 8, okay, it says on the 601st day, then 601st Noah's birthday, 601st, on the first day of the first month, okay, the waters, all right, the end of, you're getting all these different points of data here, all right? So what we have to do is we have to go back in, and we need to sit there and say, okay, where do we plug in this data, all right? And then we have to go in and say, okay, well, we're in a calendar, a Gregorian calendar. We need to go into the Jewish calendar, okay? So when I came down here, and what you're showing is there's these basics. And when you come down, this is what it filters down to. Noah's birthday was Tishri 1. The great flood started on the second month of the seventh day, according to Genesis 7:1, when the Hebrew day was converted. And you convert that to our current calendar, that gets to October 31st, November 1st.
Okay, hang on. You're flying over the top now. Hang on. So Tishrei was a month. Is that what you're telling us in the Jewish calendar?
That's correct.
Tishrei 1 was a month. Okay.
Okay. All right. So what we're getting is we're getting different data points here. Okay. Just like Mark Trump would say, the Bible is data, right? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what you do then is you go through the rest of this whole story here, and you end up coming with these following data points, okay? When the Jewish
Hey, Craig, we have it up on the screen. Can you kind of tell us which one of these are on so we can point it to people?
Okay.
You have your PowerPoint or whatever up on the screen.
Okay. The one that you had up there, okay? And you can post this on your website so people can go back here and they can print it off and go back and read it there. So what you have here is there's the five following points. Okay, the first point is the flood started on October 31st. All right. Then the second point is it talks about when the flood started. Okay, the seventh month. On the 17th day, that's the month of Nisan. Why did God put that in there? Well, the 17th of Nisan is 3 days past Nisan 14, which is the Passover. That coincides with the resurrection of Christ, and that's in Genesis 8:4.
Yeah, but you're confusing me. You lost me at Tishri. You lost me.
Let me go back.
Okay, right. So hang on. So Noah's birthday is Tishrei 1. Okay,
Tishri 1. So let's
Mike,
just look at
Mike. Hang look, on a second. Pull up that chart you had. Tishrei.
Okay. Yeah. Put the chart up there. Okay.
There's the Jewish months. How many months were there? Jewish months.
There's There's 12 months in the year, and we have to understand one thing. Okay, we have a 365 and a quarter day year. Before the flood, everything was 360 degrees, 360 days, because 360 is a perfect circle.
Makes
everything
sense.
Was circumference. Okay,
makes
so
sense.
Months were actually 30 days long. So let's just think of it this way. If you go to Canada and you go to fill up your car with gallons, you need to convert the liters to gallons.
Right.
What this does here, this Jewish month, the equivalent months, what it does is it makes that conversion for you. So go to where it says Tishri 1 and look at September and October. Tishri 1 begins in the middle of the month. Okay.
Folks, Tishri is at 9 o'clock on this map that's up in front of it. It's at 9 o'clock. Tishri.
9 o'clock.
It's between September and October. See it?
And it's the middle of the month. And the month were exactly 30-day periods of time because the moon used to circle the earth on 30-day cycles, just like the earth used to circle the sun on 30-day cycles until these major catastrophic events happened, okay? So what he's saying there is, in that piece of information, he says the second month on the 17th day. So the first month is September 15th through October 14th. The second month is October 15th through November 15th.
Okay, now you're making sense. Now I'm following you. Okay.
So now you have to add 17 days to October 15th. Well, that gets you to October 32nd. We don't have October 32nd, but we have October 31st, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. And that is the information that you need to be able to go back to that example, X plus Y equals 10. All right. We now have something that we can actually plug in there. So the question is are we on some kind of wild rabbit trail? Well, you get something that comes from another source. That's completely separate from what we're trying to say here. And
so, Craig,
you go to Stephanie and you say, Stephanie, why is the occult so interested in this day?
Mm-hmm.
Because they know in their time, that time which changes our orbit around the sun and different things, that this was the beginning of the Day of the Dead, the judgment of God against the Nephilim and all the things that he tried to do. Okay.
Began when, Craig?
October 31st, November 1st.
All Saints Day.
The Day of the Dead. The Day of the Occult. So
gotcha.
Hang on.
So we are operating on a different calendar. So therefore, we don't understand the original calendar.
That's correct. Because who tries to mess up the calendar? Who do you think wants to mess up our times and seasons? Doesn't the Bible say Satan does?
Yes.
Isn't that him, the great deceptor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is when you follow the rest of that, I'll just tell you what they are, and people can research this on their own. When you follow the rest of the days, you get a period of the seventh month on the 17th day. Well, that's Nisan 17th, the resurrection of Christ. Then you get to this point that says, okay, on the 10th month on the first day, Noah takes off the cover of the ark. And then he waits 40 days. And then he sends out this raven. Okay, so we know that story. But you got to go to the 10th month, you got to add 40. And what's that take you? It takes you to the 11th month on the 10th day. When you go back to our Jewish conversion calendar, well, that's Av. And then you go, well, gee, that's the 10th of Av. Well, what's unusual about the 10th of Av? Oh, well, when you go back in Jewish history, the 9th of Av, that's when both temples were destroyed. And if you actually go back and you look at, we just celebrated Christopher Columbus, and you read like Bill Federer, remember you had him at your Occupy? He goes back and he tells you about, that's when the Jews, remember the Jews had to be kicked out of Spain, and it actually, Christopher Columbus had to wait a few extra days to leave because all the Jews were kicked out of Spain. Okay?
Right.
And if you go back in the 9th of Av, all these terrible things happened to the Jewish people. Okay? And that's the next day is when Noah sent this raven out to see if there was any land but he never came back. That raven never came back. Okay. So then when you get to the next piece of information is it says, that on the second month, This is when he actually leaves the ark, okay? The second month on the 27th day, all right? He actually leaves the ark. Well, what day is that? That's 10 days later than when the original flood happened, because it was the second month of the 17th day.
So okay, two main numbers. Hang on here. So on number five, it says on the 27th day of the second month, the earth was dried and God told Noah to leave the ark. When was that? The 27th day of the second month. What would that date be, Craig?
Well, the flood started on October 31st first. So all we got to do is just add 10, right?
Right.
Because it was, so add 10 to November 11th or November 1st. What do you come to?
November 11th. So we, if we correct on our hypothesis that the first day of the flood started on October 31st, November 1st, the 17th day of the second moon, and Noah left the ark on the 27th day of the second month, then you will need to add 10 days from the flood's beginning day, and you find yourself on November 11th. And we understand that 11 is a very occultist number. Many well-known events have fallen on November 11th. World War One armistice was signed on 11th month, 11th day, 11th hour. Mayflower Compact was signed on November 11th, 1620, which will be the 400th anniversary this one, right? Wow, this is some heavy stuff. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah. Well, what happened on, when did we get attacked on the World Trade Center?
9-1-1.
Okay, so what I'm saying is what we need to do, we're making a working hypothesis, we're getting ready to go into the theory mode, where we have to take outside sources to confirm if we're on the right track. And when you go to people like Stephanie and they say, yes, the 11th and the occult and all these other things, these tend to happen on there, it gives you a little bit of credibility that you're heading down the right path on this, that you're not going down some sort of rabbit trail.
So, Craig, Stephanie just texted me this. 11 is the number of doorways. Remember, she operated in the occult world, folks. 11 is the number of doorways. And she wrote this, Craig. Sorry to, didn't mean to interrupt, although I did mean to interrupt.
No, please do. This is good because you're getting it from somebody else.
Yes. Yeah. Stephanie says, power build up starts tomorrow, which is the 15th. Through the 31st. It's like building to a crescendo. On the 31st, the veil between dimensions thins, becomes thinner, and things can come through that can't normally get through. Because they are focusing energy on it all over this planet at the same time, all the occult world is praying towards this simple target, the prayer of agreement, folks. At the same time, for the same purpose, and with the same intent, all the blood sacrifice of our babies has fueled this. I got goosebumps on that. Go ahead, Craig.
So,
thanks.
What I'm just trying to point out is just like you knew in your games, there were crescendo points, right? Like,
yeah,
it's getting real. Okay.
Uh-huh.
What I'm trying to point out is we are getting real, okay? And when we talk about the moon happening, okay, the full moon happening on October 31st, okay, that hasn't happened. Okay, you got to remember, the moon goes in 27.2 days. It takes 27.2 days to go around the Earth right now, make a completion of a full moon to a new moon.
We're having two moons this month, right? It never happens.
Well, right. Well, you always get two moons during the course of a year at times. But the point being is it lands on October 31st. That's what's unusual. And then for it to land on October, to make it the month of October, the last time that has happened was in 1944. Okay. So that was 75 years ago. So these events they don't happen very often, but is it just by chance and random that it just happens to be happening, and everything that's happened this year since 2020, and we got this election and all these other things, this is where the spiritual realm that we kind of talk about over here gives you the clarity to see that it's happening right in front of your eyes, and you're living in this moment of time. That's the takeaway from this.
So Craig, are you ready for this one? What's the spiritual significance that we're going to Chappaqua on the 31st? Is there a spiritual significance?
Oh, absolutely. when you started talking about this, I understood this. And a few months ago, like, you'll say something and I'll be like, yeah, okay, well, yeah. You start talking about the Mayflower Compact. I started looking at the Mayflower Compact, and I really started looking at it in a different sense, okay? And I read it, and I realized that, you know what? That was a covenant with God, okay? God honored, you know, forget the Constitution and the independence and stuff like that. God honored the covenant with those people that made that. And if you go back and you study it, and I think I put in there in my notes, it's not that one, it's the other one I sent you this morning. If you go back and read the actual words that they did, they made a covenant. They didn't make that, you know, like Newt Gingrich, he made a contract with America. Well, they made a covenant and they signed their names to it. And if you study the people that signed their names to them, a year later, half of them were not there. They died because it was a cold winter. Okay. And you know what's even interesting? And we talked about this. They were supposed to go to Virginia, but they got thrown off course. Why did they get thrown off course? Because there was a hurricane. Why was there extra hurricanes? Because if you go back to 1600s, it was the Maunder minimum. It was grand solar minimum. Okay. The weather was erratic. It pushed them off course. Okay.
The Mayflower Compact, 400 years ago, November 11th. Folks, think about that, folks. 400 years ago, November 11th, was a compact between the settlers in the New World and Almighty God. It was a compact. Did God break the compact, or have we broken that compact? Is that compact still in place? Am I over it, Craig? Am I over the target?
You're absolutely over target. If you can send the other link I sent you this morning, because what I did is I kind of took and I highlighted it. You know, I took out of that actual copy thing that they made and did that. But look at all those names down there. Half of those people weren't there a year later. Okay, people can research this and find out. But the point that I'm saying is that day was the day that Noah got off the ark.
It's the same day. November 11th is the same day Noah got off the ark. Is that what you're telling me, Greg?
That's what I'm telling you.
Holy smokes.
And it's either a lot of coincidence, or it rings true in the spiritual realm.
Anybody got a comment on that? Well, my email, my text is blowing up. Stephanie says, excuse me, and to those witches and pagans or whatever, that belief in reincarnation that are listening, tell them, for me, this is the final cycle in the last generation, Stephanie says. There are no more chances for the lost. This is it. You shall be judged. They will understand what that means. I just told them, Stephanie. It's the last cycle. Craig, I don't even know how to wrap this thing up. Anybody?
Think of it this way, Coach. Think of it this way. Think of, you got a big funnel, and it all comes down to one point. Okay? One little opening. We are down there at the very bottom of the funnel.
Amen, 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 amen. I have a silent audience today.
It kind of puts a fresh look at what was brought forth by me the other day, that those that know they're in satanic social clubs, time to get the hell out of them.
Yeah, that's right, Larry. Uh-huh. 11, Stephanie said, the number of doorways. What's a doorway? It's a way to come in or a way to come out, isn't it? Think about that. The Armistice Day, November 11th, 11th day, 11th hour, right? November 11th, Noah got off the ark.
All these alignments, Coach, that have been happening forever, ever since the beginning of time, God knew about these alignments. He knew about 1947 and the significance of of 2017 and the great eclipse. He knows what's happening in 2024 when we have another eclipse over the Madrid fault line.
Mm.
He knows. He knows, and he designed it this way. The luminaries, you know, they continue to be right where they're supposed to be, is what Enoch says, right? So
right.
What Craig brought out is truth. It's another angle. Why do we look to Jewish calendar? Why is all of that data in there when we're not the Jews? That calendar's been perfect, Coach.
Well, Mark,
it aligns with our world events that you teach us about, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing as a penny, right? A penny means something to us now, but a penny doesn't mean the same thing it meant to my great-grandfather, right? The timing, time, value, circumstance, all matter. They're all important, right? And part of the problem that we have, the reason we're so lost and so confused, is we've allowed these old markers to not be continually marked and be of significance. And that's why we've lost our bearings.
Amen.
Go ahead, Silva.
Oh, it's superstitious. Superstition.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
It's we talk about the Jewish calendar being perfect, and we're saying that maybe they had something right, you know, this kind of thing. And we're all a bunch of Christians. We're not Jews. Guess what, folks? There are no Baptist gates into heaven. The Amen. Gates are named for the sons of Israel. Okay? And you will be grafted in to one of these families one way or another. If you love the Lord.
Absolutely.
That's a great line.
Amen. Amen. If you don't become an adopted Jew, you don't get there.
That was a mic drop, Joe.
Jesus said he didn't come to nullify the law. He came to fulfill it.
Right.
And if you kind of follow along with what I'm doing in dry bones, you'll understand through the genealogy that there's a bigger, deeper message. But it's as simple as just calling on the name of the Lord, asking for repentance, and believing on his name and being covered by the blood. It's Amen. That simple.
Amen. Again, catch David Arthur shows Craig's show. We'll put that in the chat so you guys can find. Listen, I just feel this unction. I spoke a little bit about this yesterday. Craig is great presentation. Can I tell you the truth? He had my head spinning there for a little bit because you know what I don't know, and it's hard for me to follow because I don't know what you know. But I get it, man. I get that there's something there. I get it.
Okay? Coach, you know the game. You know the game.
Yes.
You know this is at a crescendo point.
The Holy Spirit
speaks to you. All you need to do is be obedient, and you are being obedient, and you are setting the leadership. You're making a way. We need to support you. God bless you. You're in my prayers.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. Thanks. Folks, listen. This has been on me about 4 days in a row, and I started out today saying that there's no rules in war. But I want you to know this. Everybody has a gift. Everyone has it. And for too long, many of you who are watching this show right now have your gift hasn't been appreciated. You know it. It's a call. Remember I talked to you last week about the giftings and callings of God being irrevocable? See, your gift is a call. Your call is a gift. And I'm sorry for those of you out there who have this gift and this call in your life, and nobody will validate it. And you feel like you're an outcast. You feel like you don't belong. You walk up to your pastor and you sense him walk the other way. People don't want to hear it. And I just want to encourage you today that the giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. Folks, listen, if you have a prophetic call from the Lord, it's one that the world will not understand. And that prophetic call that you have from the Lord, I'm going to tell you this, the church isn't going to understand. Because the job of the prophet is to go speak truth to the body. That's the job of the prophet. Because we become so comfortable in the way we do church, they don't want to hear it. Because if you walk into the church and you have the gift of the prophet or whatever that gift is that it's upon you, that prophetic unction, that prophetic gift rather than a gift, if you walk into the church and you want to rearrange the furniture, they're going to throw you out. They don't want the furniture rearranged. They've spent 30 years building it. They've spent 30 years putting the dresser drawers there. They put the refrigerator there. They put everything in order. They do not want you to upset the apple cart. You understand? So I want to encourage you of this, that the Lord said that it is better to obey than it is to sacrifice. And if you hear from the Lord and the Lord asks you to do something, you don't need an amen from somebody else, folks. You don't need it. Because I'm going to tell you this. Most times, you're going to get an oh my, you ain't going to get an amen. They're not going to understand it. It's from the Lord. So I would just pray this morning that you would answer that call, that you would stop being ashamed of that gift, understand that gift, and understand this. Not everybody wants the furniture rearranged. They like it the way they are. Do what it is that you have to do. The unction of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ. Let your words be a sign of obedience to him, not being done for the applause of men. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.